Well, thank you for joining me, Bertie Brits, in today's broadcast of The Love Way. I'm so excited to minister God's way of love to all people. God's way of love is Jesus Christ and what is done for us in Jesus. And today we are continuing in our series to talk on change. What change is, how do you get it right to change? In the church through many years, we have had a great focus on change. We must change from thinking this way. We must change from this, change from so many things. And the whole focus for change in your life has been placed on you. You must change. You must change your mind. Now, let me tell you something. This whole focus thing of change will bring so much condemnation into your life. It will make you desperate for God. You'll start to desire for God. You'll become so hungry and thirsty for God. Like I said, man, I started to preach this back in 1995. And the reason why I say this is so that you can know this is not a new doctrine. I started to preach it then. Jesus started to preach this 2,000 years ago. It's always been the mindset of God. This whole thing of hungering and thirsting after God, desiring more, to go in deeper, all of that is born out of discontentment and no understanding of what Jesus has given unto us freely. If you can realize how much God loves you, you will never even ask Him for a thing. Now, I do understand that we will ask God for things because we look at the glory of God as into a mirror, and a mirror that is dim. In other words, while we're in this human body, as long as what we have not received immortality, that means as long as what you become gray, as long as what you find that your teeth becomes more yellow, and as long as what you find that you lose your eyesight and and things like that, means that you are not in an immortal flesh. And I do believe that we will receive that immortal flesh at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ when He comes. That I know for sure. Amen. So, as long as we don't have that, you will not see that full revelation of who Jesus is. And God is, He's at peace with that. He knows that. And He's not going to put this pressure on you all day long to change. And so many doctrines is born out of a mentality that says, you know, you should never be happy with what you have. You should always be discontent and just want more and desire more. And then God comes and He pours out His Spirit upon you, and as you receive it in the back of your mind, you're still not happy because you want more. Man, if I give my children something and all he says is more, 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 you know, he's going to start to irritate me, to be quite honest and to be quite frank. God doesn't want us to think that what He's given us in the cross is not enough. And out of that was born this teaching of change. You must just change. This is not good, you must change. This is not good, you must change. Now, I don't say that we should not change, and I don't say that we will not change. But when you look at the word change in the Bible, you will see that there's no place in the New Testament where we are commanded to change, or where the whole thing of change is placed upon us. Now, like I said in one of the previous broadcasts, our job description is not to change. The job description of Jesus was to change the world. And when we receive what He has done, because He did His job, then we experience the change that came in Jesus Christ in our lives. Just to recap on what we said in the first two sessions, is that Adam changed from righteousness to unrighteousness, and when he changed, you changed. In the same way, Jesus changed us from unrighteousness to righteousness through obeying the law and doing everything correctly for us. And that includes everything. He did everything. And I want to be open about this. He did everything to get you healed. He did everything to get you a sound mind so that we can have the mind of the Anointed One and His anointing. And He also did everything to get us prosperous and financially, so that we... Now, how can I stutter like that? Let me say it again. He did everything so that we could prosper financially as well. Anything that you think you need to do in order to prosper outside of simply believing the gospel is not the good news of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, let me say it again. Anything you think you need to do in order to prosper, to change your situation financially, outside of simply believing what Jesus done for you, and what He's done for you is written down in 2 Corinthians 8 verses 9. He was rich, He became poor, so you through His poverty might be made rich. Anything outside of that is not the good news, and it's not peace promoting. It doesn't promote trust in your heart towards God. It is outside of the gospel. It's not building upon the foundation that Paul laid, which was Jesus Christ. And no other foundation can any man lay except that. Amen. So, I do believe that there is change for us. You might say, but Bertie, I want to change. Well, that's wonderful if you want to change. As long as we don't try to change yourself, but you can come to a place where you can rest in the good news. Believe what Jesus Christ said about you. And then one day you will read into something. It might be today. It might be tomorrow. Where you find, but this gives me such an energy and a power that I feel that I, through this, I got rid of the thing that held me down. And I experience a change in my life. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, that as we look into the glory of God, we look as into a mirror, and then we are changed into the very same image as what we look at, as by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Man, isn't that so, so powerful? We will have a look at that as well. Now, just to recap quickly, we said in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, that you need to know God and you need to be born of God in order to love. Now, every one of us, we want to change to a more loving person, a more caring person, walking more in the love of God, for that is the highest form of life, is love. And we want to change into that. But the way we change into that is by being born of God and knowing God. Okay, now let's get into the scripture. We go right down to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to connect Colossians 2:23 with 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians, chapter 1 and verse 21. Hallelujah. This is what it says. It says, "For after the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." So what God says here, and what the scripture says here, is that through wisdom, people don't know God. So if you need to be born of God, and you need to know God, in order to love, and there's something that can stop you from knowing God, you will find that it's difficult to start to become the person you really want to be in the Lord. Talking about the manifestation of the Son of God. Talking about the manifestation of righteousness in your life. You want to see that manifestation of the changed person in Jesus. And now you can't see it. And the reason why you don't see it, I mean, one of the greatest reasons, because we don't know God. You don't know who God is. That word know means to experience God. To experience God for who He truly is. And it says here that the world through wisdom did not know God. So our enemy, that which keeps us away from knowing God, is wisdom. Now what is this wisdom? Colossians chapter 2, I'm going to read from verse 20, and I'm going to go into this a bit more in depth, and I know this is going to bless you. It says, "Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world." Now another word for rudiments there, let's see what it says here, is the elements or basic principles of this world. If you, listen to this, "Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the basic principles of this world, why as through living in the world are you subject to ordinances or in Afrikaans it says, insettinge or rules or regulations." So what he says here is, if you have died with Christ, why are you still subject to ordinances? Why are you still under the basic principles of this world? And so many times I hear it being preached and people think it for their lives. You know, I live by this principle and I live by this principle. And all this principle teaching is just another manifestation of the law. That's what it is. And it's a manifestation of wisdom because it looks so wise. You know, we follow these principles in the Word of God and then God's now going to bless us. Let me tell you something. There's just one principle in this world or one law right now in Jesus Christ. It's called the law of life in Christ Jesus. And has set me free from the other law that there is, which is the law of sin and death. Now, if you're not part of the law of life, what is the law of life? If I believe on what Jesus has done for me, And I want you to get the other messages in the series. It will just help you. I can't just go back into it again and again because we'll never get to what I really want to say about change. If you believe in Jesus Christ and what He's done for you and how He represented you, if you get into that and you believe that, you will live. That's the law of life in Christ Jesus. And any teaching outside of that is the law of sin and death. It's the law that will bear fruit in you, that will bring forth sin in your life, and then it will cause you to die. As simple as that. Now, any area of life, if you want to change in any area of your life, you need to apply the law of life. The only principle there is, the principle of, I believe in Jesus, and therefore I experience life. I live. So if you want to change when it comes to your marriage, you must go and study the Word of God to see what do I need to believe Jesus has already done for me. And then when you believe that from the perspective that says, I just want to believe this. Because I believe that when I believe the truth about what Jesus has done for me, I will experience that truth in my life and I will change effortlessly. One of the mottos I've got in my life is this. If any change in my life is not effortless, it's not lasting change. If it's not effortless change, it's not lasting change. So if you want to change, don't try to change. Man, it sounds foolish, doesn't it? To a law-minded, it does sound foolish. But to those who are in Christ, that's what the Bible says. It says, amongst those that are under the law, we speak foolishness. But to those who are under grace, we're speaking the wisdom of God. This is the wisdom of God getting you to a place where you can really be like Jesus in this world. Where you can really experience the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Man, isn't that powerful? That's what God has got for you. Now, let's get back into Colossians chapter 2. We're talking about what keeps us away from knowing God. Because if we can get that thing that keeps us away from knowing God, and we can identify it and get rid of it, then we will know God and we will find the necessary change that we want as a Christian. A very important thing is to know that the focus point of God's relationship with you is not changing you. That's not God's focus point because He has already changed you. Now, we've had that in the previous sessions. You need to get that and listen to that. Now, verse 20. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the basic principles of this world, why as through living in the world are you subject to ordinances? So, what does Paul call a worldly person? If you worldly or fleshly, what does he call such a person? That's a person that's under rules and regulations, that's under rudiments or basic principles and laws like touch not, taste not, and handle not. Now, which are all things to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. So if you get under a touch not, handle not, do not, in order for God to bless you, you are under the doctrines and commandments of men and not under God. Now these things, now listen to how this looks. The Bible says these basic principles, these ordinances or rules like touch not, taste not, handle not, all these things have indeed a show of wisdom. It looks very wise in will worship. In other words, it looks very wise if you can apply your willpower to it. So it looks like something that's really going to help you to change in your life to better your situation. I don't know if that's right English, but to better your situation, it looks like as if it's really going to work if I can just apply my willpower to it. Let's read it again. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship, in humility. In other words, it's something that says, you know, you must just, it looks so wise. If I can just apply my willpower, if I can just humble myself and neglect of the body, if I can just suffer a little bit, I'm going to get through. Man, there's a million things that I can think of right now that I can mention in this. It's going to take a week to mention everything, but I tell you the truth. The longer you try to change, the less you're going to change. And so many teachings today is all change-based. It's either behavior modification or what I call change teaching. Change here, change there, change there. Man, let me tell you the truth. I've tried to change, I cannot change. How many of you can say that from the depth of your being? Man, I've tried to change now for 10 years. I've tried to not lose my temper. I've tried to spend more time with my children, and I get it right for 2 weeks, and then I don't get it right, and I struggle to change. The greatest change I've seen in the lives of people is just after they get saved. Because then they had a fresh revelation of what Jesus has done for them. They believe it's by the mercy of God. They believe it's by the grace of God. They believe their sins are forgiven. They believe they are pure. They believe their sins has been washed away. They believe they're a friend of God and all those type of things. Let me give you a good example of a change and how it can affect somebody's life. I've had a man from the United States give me a call. I think he's from Ohio. He gave me a call. He watched me on television or on the website. And he said to me that his life was, man, it was he had an awesome life. He was leading people to Jesus. He was praying for the sick, healing the sick in Jesus' name. It was a wonderful, he had a wonderful relationship with the Lord. And then he had a pastor that was an elderly man, and he really looked up to this pastor and saw him as a spiritual father, somebody that's really like an overseer over him. And because his father died at an early age. And then this guy said to him, you know, you like the rich young ruler, because this guy was an engineer, and I think his wife's also an engineer, and they did well, and all of that. And then when this pastor came to him and said, you like the rich young ruler. And God has got this thing against you because you like money too much. And you know what this guy said? He said that he was so sincere in his relationship with God that he was so upset, or actually hurt inside, because he thought, and this was his words to me, his exact words. He said, I thought that God liked me. But then I found out that he actually had a hidden problem with me that he was carrying in his heart. And now he came out with this thing later on. And then because he loves God so much, he tried to change financially. He didn't even see his mistake. We don't even know as if he had a mistake. And then he tried to change this by giving to the church. And it was just this giving thing, giving thing, giving thing. And what happened to him, he got so stressed out and depressed about this because he started to feel this guilt in his life. He started to see other things in his life try to change now. All of a sudden, his focus was not Jesus anymore, but himself. And God's got this thing against him, and he needs to sort it out to be pleasing to God. And whenever he watches Christian television, he sees the new thing to do, the newest revelation on the block. And then he tries that out. And eventually, he got so depressed and stressed out that he got like an epileptic fit. And he drove off the road, made a massive accident with his car. After he made this accident, he broke a lot of bones in his body, and he had pain from that day ever since. Well, I prayed for him. He's much better now and everything. And he got depressed. He started to struggle with depression because he could not get rid of the pain in his life. Now, that is just one word of law that ruined a man's life. And as he said, as he stumbled onto my website and he started to listen to Grace teachings that was just online, you could just listen to it. He says he felt the pain leaving him. He's feeling much better. His relationship with God is coming right. He feels joy in his life. He says that he can see in the future that he will run again. He struggled to walk because of all the pain he had. Now just think of all the negative things that happened to one man because of one word of you must change. Instead of bringing the gospel that produces change. So many people say, yes, Bertie, but if you know the Lord, you will change. It's true, but then I need to know the Lord. I need to know what He's done for me. I don't need to have this thing over my life that says, you know, if you're a Christian, you will do this, you will do this, you will do this. The teaching that says, if you are a Christian, then you're going to do this and do this and do this, I believe it's born out of Satan. You might say, but Bertie, how can you say that? Now, the Bible says, and I mean, John also said, if you love God, then you will love your neighbor. If you know the love of God, then you will love your neighbor. But the way he said that was different to what we hear today. When John said, if you know the love of God, you will love your neighbor, he said this. He said, let us love each other. For everyone that loves knows God and is born of God. So he said, listen, guys, we know God. We love God. God loves us. So let this love be directed towards people as well. He didn't come and say, you know, if you love God, then you better love your neighbor. That's not what he was saying. He said it as a fruit. He said, listen, the love of God is so contagious. It's so powerful. The more we know about that, the more this will flow out of our lives. I mean, it's just different. The devil came to Jesus when he was in the desert and said to him, if you are the Son of God, turn this stones into bread. If you are the Son of God, jump down this temple and let me see. Now, I don't fall on a teaching like that. I'm not going to, if somebody tells me, well, if God's your provider, let me see what you're going to do with your money. If God's your provider, let me see how, be quiet. Take a rest, brother. I will do what I will do, but not under teaching like that. That fruit will manifest in my life. I will see that fruit in my life. I'm not against that change, but we're not going to try and prove the New Testament. We're not going to try and prove what Jesus has done for us. It's either a fruit in my life or it's not a fruit in my life. And if it's not a fruit in my life, God wants me to bear fruit. How will I bear fruit? The Bible says you cannot bear fruit by yourself. But it's God in you that will bear the fruit. So what do I need to do? I need to study out the message of grace. I need to study out how He influenced my life. I need to study out how I have changed in Jesus already. Paul called somebody that was under rules and regulations like touch not, do not, taste not. And these were holy people, man. These were people that were really trying to do the thing right. He called them worldly. He called them worldly. Now, the next session, we're going to start off in Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I know I've read this basically in every session. I want to just read it again. This is so, so powerful. He says here, but we all with an open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So how are we changed? We are changed by looking into the glory of God. When you look into the glory of God, you are changed into what you see, as by the Spirit. You know, so many times we say, you know, this is what Jesus has done. Look at what He's done. You need to do that. Looking at what Jesus has done on this earth by healing the sick, living a holy life, and all of that, that is just... I don't say that's not the glory of God. It shows the glory of God. If you've got the right interpretation of that, then you will understand. When Jesus said to the rich young ruler, listen, go and sell everything you have, and you look at that and don't understand why He said it, man, you will be so condemned, you'll never understand it. You will be so condemned, you will struggle to have a good relationship with God. You will feel, man, this gospel is just too difficult and I'm never going to make it. I will never be able to change, for I cannot sell all my things. We need to understand what Jesus has done. We need to see His glory full of grace and truth. When you see grace and when you see truth, you will find that the Holy Spirit brings the change in your life into what you have seen. Hallelujah. Man, isn't that so, so awesome? I just believe that the more we can realize that Jesus has changed us upon the cross, the more we can realize that change comes from God and not from our effort, the more we will find that we change. I can't tell my wife all the time, you know, my wife, I'm not happy with you. I would like you to change. Change here, change there, change there. I didn't marry her with a purpose to change her. I didn't want a girl that I had to change. You don't marry somebody you want to change. That's the first thing. And the second thing is you don't stay married to somebody that wants to change you every day. Because it's irritating to hear your mistakes every day. But in the kingdom of God, it's just like that. Well, I'm not happy with this. Is this it, my God? I'm not happy with it. Now listen, I am happy with what I have in Jesus. Thank you, my God. I'm happy with the revelation I have. I'm happy with the Spirit of God I have. I'm happy with the stuff I have. We are happy and we are content. And we know that God, out of who He is, will just explain to us more of what Jesus has given us freely. It comes naturally. But I live a happy life. If you're not happy with what you have, you will never be happy. And the kingdom of God is joy. Man, amen. Well, we've run out of time. I was just getting started. Now, get into the next session, and if you don't want to wait until next week, get onto our website. It is already uploaded there. You can watch it online right now. God bless you, and thank you that you've joined the Love Way.